This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday afternoon, March 26th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Krispy Kreme donuts will be available at McDonald's locations across the U.S. very soon. We'll talk about that in our next segment, but right now, assisting aging parents with their finances can be daunting, often involving estate planning, insurance, and healthcare decisions. Joining us with some key advice is Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, and author of the book, Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And boy, oh boy, are we talking about a conversation that can be emotional and can result in permanent family rifts if done incorrectly.
Yes, it can. And the important thing is whatever you do, you need a plan. You need to communicate, especially if you have siblings, and you need to do it gradually.
And every now and then, you know, especially around Thanksgiving and around Christmas time, we have the annual discussion on Personal Finance Wednesday of, are the holidays a good time to bring that up? Since everybody in the family is together at the same time, and is that a good strategy? And if not, who should initiate that conversation? Should it be the parent or their kids?
You know, I don't think the holidays is a good time. That's a time to be with family, to enjoy each other. But I do, it could either be the children. Usually it is the children because the parents usually feel that they're in good shape. But as a child, you know, when you go to your parents' home, look for some clues. Is there unopened mail? Are there financial statements sitting around that maybe are past due? Are there checks that haven't been deposited? If you see these clues, it may be a time to really dig a little deeper. One thing that I've given a lot of advice to my clients is to have a heart-to-heart with your parents, because there's a lot of scams going out right now, especially for elderly parents. And so I advise sitting down with your parents and taking a credit check. By taking a credit check, it's almost the window into their financial situation. You can see if there's any bad credit on there, some credit that they didn't know about, things like that. So taking the credit check is usually the first step.
Now, if you are, let's say, in your late 60s or early 70s, and you're listening to this this segment, and you want to just head this issue off at the pass, and you want to just get your kids together and begin this conversation, you take the initiative. What are some maybe signs of trouble or guideposts or moments where you say to yourself, you know what, maybe I really should hand over control of my finances to a designated child or children?
Yeah, I mean, is it getting too overwhelming for you? Are you having trouble paying the checks? Are you being late? So those are some signs. And there's a lot of things that could be simplified. But I usually start with really sitting down and taking an inventory of everything. You know, what is the insurance? Are those bills being paid on time? Do they have long-term care insurance? Is that being paid on time? Are taxes being filed appropriately and on time? Do they have a current estate plan? When was the last time that was updated? Are their wishes reflected in that estate plan? So really sitting down and getting a list of all these documents and having an open discussion about it.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a look at a delectable partnership between Krispy Kreme and McDonald's.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
McDonald's and Krispy Kreme have entered into a nationwide partnership with the fast food giant set to offer Krispy Kreme donuts in all of its U.S. locations by 2026. We welcome in Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about this particular partnership between Krispy Kreme and McDonald's, let's talk about the history of Krispy Kreme as a nationwide brand, because about 24, 25 years ago, it broke out as a place that used to be a Southern secret. Like if you drove down south, oh, you got to check out Krispy Kreme. Those are great donuts. And then they expanded nationwide almost too fast, because I remember in my early days in radio, whenever there was a new Krispy Kreme location in a given market, they would drop off like 17 boxes of donuts so you could talk about them on the air. And it seemed like for a while they were overextended.
Yeah, I agree. I think they grew too fast and they saturated the market too quickly. So I think, you know, it would have lasted longer if, you know, they had gone a little slower and kept the mystery out there. But this did come from the South. And I do believe that this was, you know, one of President Clinton's favorite places to go in the morning when he saw that light come on. So great concept.
And then are there a lot of brick and mortar Krispy Kreme locations anymore? Because the one I see on a daily basis, or I used to see on a daily basis, was in the Pedway in Block 37. But that appeared to be a victim of COVID, and now it's something else. Are there a lot of brick and mortar Krispy Kreme locations still in the Chicago area?
You know, it's really funny, because when I see one, I'm always surprised. So the answer has to be no. There's not a lot of them, and certainly not as many as there used to be, because again, as I drive, you know, through the city or outside the city, I see one, and I'm always surprised. I say, "Oh my God, there's a Krispy Kreme!" So yeah, it's not like it was, you know, that 20 years ago.
We're talking with Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works in Chicago, about the alliance between Krispy Kreme and McDonald's. So, Izzy, instead of having their own brick-and-mortar distribution network, Krispy Kreme is now utilizing somebody else's. And this is a powerful weapon for McDonald's in that that breakfast war with other quick-service establishments.
Yeah, this is going to be a game changer for Krispy Kreme. It's going to bring it back, I believe, to the top of the market, top of mind. So this is a really great move for them, and it's a spectacular move for McDonald's. I think it will pull a lot of people away from Dunkin' Donuts and their competitors to go get a Krispy Kreme now at McDonald's. So brilliant move on both parts.
Now, Krispy Kreme still has the distribution network. They have the network of bakeries. They can deliver donuts fresh on a daily basis to McDonald's. But you talk about the former president enjoying the fact that the fresh donut light came on in Little Rock, Arkansas. But that was a big selling point. Oh, the donuts are fresh. Can you get that at McDonald's with this Krispy Kreme partnership?
Yeah, I think that part of it is going to go away. And you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, Rob, you and I are a little older now. So a lot of people, younger folk, you know, they don't remember that part of Krispy Kreme, but they know it's a product they like. I'm sure my kids who are in their 20s, without knowing any of the history of Krispy Kreme, would absolutely go to McDonald's and get coffee and a, you know, what they perceive to be a fresh donut from Krispy Kreme.
And what is the McDonald's share of the breakfast marketplace? I mean, obviously, they're known for McMuffins. They're known for cinnamon rolls and apple pie and things like that. And there was an experiment with all-day breakfast. Where does this put them now in the marketplace, as you mentioned, compared to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or the other restaurants that are trying to compete for share of the breakfast table?
Oh, I think this is going to, once it's in place, I think this is going to shoot McDonald's market share for breakfast way up. I mean, already McDonald's sells, I think, more coffee than anybody else. And but to have this piece of it, it's a real way to tap into the Dunkin' Donuts market for sure.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today, talking about the McDonald's and Krispy Kreme alliance. Coming up next, things people forget before a big international trip.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There are often critical things that people forget before embarking on a big trip. Let's welcome in Mark Wolters, Wolters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube, but you can also find him in Shambana, because he's a teaching associate professor of business Business Administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And on the day of a big trip, I'm very annoying. I'm normally very annoying to my family, Mark, on a daily basis, but I'm particularly annoying when we go on a big trip because I'm always asking, do we have the passports? Do we have the passports? Do we have the passports? Because if you forget the passports at home and you are leaving the country, then your vacation is over. And that seems like a good place to start.
Yes, that is one thing. It's not just making sure you have the passports, but before you travel, check your passport validation, because some countries will not let you in unless you have 6 months of validity left on your passport before you get there. So maybe a few days before you want to check the passports as well. But there are a lot of things you want to remember before you go.
I mean, some of the basic stuff, put the mail hold on. It's a very easy thing to do on the Postal Service website. Another thing, though, is call your bank. Let them know that when you're making that big purchase in London, it is, in fact, you who's doing that and not some malicious actor.
Yes, and that's why I always recommend your bank debit card. Let them know, but also the main credit card you're going to use when you travel, let them know as well. Some already put travel notifications on there. You can actually go on your credit card's website and let them know where you're going to go. But sometimes you just want to make sure and give them that call just to be sure, because it's happened to me before where all of a sudden your ATM card doesn't give you cash and you're like, uh-oh, am I out of luck?
And then the other thing, too, speaking of unpleasant surprises overseas, check your cell phone, either buy that international data plan or shut off international roaming, because if you don't, you could get a very unpleasant surprise on your phone bill.
Oh, yes. We're talking hundreds of dollars if you do not have a data plan. And if you have your kids going with you and you know how they love watching their YouTube videos and their TikToks, those things will cost you a lot of money. So go online. Again, AT&T, Verizon, all of you can go online and just click a little button and it'll give you the international data packages. Sometimes it's free. Sometimes you have to pay maybe a little bit every day. But believe me, it's a lot better than that $1,000 surprise on your next phone bill.
And then make sure you pay all your bills before you go, because nothing ruins a vacation like the anxiety of knowing you didn't pay your Banana Republic card bill.
That is true. And that's why sometimes you want to have your, auto pay can help out on those times, but sometimes you're not allowed to do that. So maybe pay the month ahead just so you're not worried about when you come back, because taking that pressure off of you when you come home, it actually helps you relax that day you get back, because getting back to work is probably the most stressful part of your vacation.
And this is the most interesting item, and that is cut your finger and toenails. And why should you do that before you go, outside of just courtesy and good grooming?
Well, one, it's really gross when you see people do it on the plane, but also TSA will confiscate your clippers and your scissors, because some places that's not allowed. So if you're thinking I'm going to get it done while I'm on my way, they might confiscate it and you won't have them. Also, though, if you're going to be walking a lot, ingrown toenails, uncomfortable feet can go a long way, and also gross fingernails might turn some people off. So just get that mani-pedi before you go. Guys, gals, everybody, it'll make you a lot more comfortable and make it a lot easier when you're walking around.
Mark Walters, Walters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube. Thank you for joining us today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Rescue crews are continuing to search for six people who remain unaccounted for after a cargo ship struck Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse. The Supreme Court hearing its first abortion case since the overturning of Roe v. Wade nearly 2 years ago. It's Travel Tuesday. We'll be discussing the concept of mega cruises, giant ships that are offering more amenities employees than ever. And despite indications the economy is rebounding, pawn shop owners are saying the times are still tough. Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 83 points. The NASDAQ is up 44. The S&P 500 is up 11. 49 degrees right now in Chicago. Under cloudy skies, going up to 54 today. But rain and thundershowers will cause temperatures to drop into the 40s. It's 12:31, the last hour. President Biden spoke from the White House about the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore this morning. The president said the city has the full support of the federal government, and he vowed to eventually pay for the rebuilding of the bridge.
It's my intention that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt.
The president also said he would be traveling to Baltimore as soon as possible. So far, two people have been rescued from the water. At least six others are still missing. The Supreme Court hearing arguments today in a case that calls into question the FDA's authority to authorize the use of the abortion drug mifepristone. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar is defending the FDA's judgment.
Rolling back FDA's changes would unnecessarily restrict access to mifepristone with no safety justification.
About two-thirds of women who had an abortion last year used mifepristone. More than 5 million people seeking an abortion have taken that drug since the year 2000. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Shah Galani, Chief Investment Strategist, ManWordPress.com in Miami. Shah, thank you for joining us today. And markets back in the green after a couple of days of selling off. What is driving this particular about face today?
I think it's three things, Rob. It's momentum, it's performance chasing, and FOMO, fear of missing out. So it's kind of a trifecta. Investors, most investors have missed this market. They missed a rally since November. And we're up 9, almost 10% this year in S&P 500 terms. We've seen 22 new highs on the S&P this year. I think investors who have missed that, especially mutual funds, hedge fund managers, institutional managers, and probably I'm talking about 99% of them who missed that, are having to chase in terms of performance. And then investors, including retail investors, are looking at everything that they've missed, and there's a little bit of fear of missing out. We can continue to go higher, especially if in the back half of the year the Fed is going to cut rates. So right now it's a positive market, and investors would be silly to fade it.
And we have been talking about the so-called Magnificent Seven, those seven tech stocks that were really the engines behind the rally earlier this year. But now it seems it's a lot more broad-based, and everybody is along for the ride.
It's a lot more broad-based, and that gives a lot of encouragement to investors, especially retail investors who are probably the most scared about the narrow leadership, if you will, especially when some of those leadership names like Tesla fell apart, and Apple to that extent also certainly scared a lot of investors. But as we broadened out, investors have said, oh, this is a good sign. That means the economy is doing well. Smaller companies are doing well. Domestic companies are doing well. I think the Russell, if the Russell 2000 picks up and we see that benchmark, the IWM and the ETF, terms starts to move higher, I think then we're going to have another leg higher to go in this market. It's just a question of how broad it can get and who's going to participate.
The big story stocks of the day, we talked about Krispy Kreme and their alliance with McDonald's. McDonald's selling Krispy Kreme donuts at restaurants coast to coast under this new agreement. Their stock rallying 28% today. And the other one that is really interesting to me is McCormick, up nearly 11% because they beat on the fiscal first quarter. So I don't know if this is a tie-in with the movie Dune 2, Shah, but... Maybe you don't necessarily control the spice and control the universe, but if you control the spice, you're doing pretty well today.
But what I'll say about McDonald's and Krispy Kreme is that's a win-win because I like both of those, not just as companies, but I do like McDonald's and I love Krispy Kreme, so that's a win-win. As far as McCormick, this is an example of companies that are doing well in terms of earnings, all of a sudden getting a major boost. We're seeing major pops on companies that beat on earnings. And they're not even beating by a lot. They're beating estimates. Some of them are barely beating. But anything that's a beat is being handsomely rewarded. And that's just a sign of investors chasing companies whose earnings are getting better.
And then we do have some numbers out today. The consumer confidence index coming in lower than what economists had expected. And is the consumer confidence index just basically the gas prices index? I mean, the price of oil is up. The price of gas is up just a little bit. And people are feeling a lot more frustrated now compared to a couple of months ago.
Well, I think they may be somewhat less confident. It seems that in terms of just going out and spending, they're still doing a pretty good job of that. And that's the only thing, Rob, that worries me is if the consumer cracks, and we know that spending has been extraordinarily high, we know that consumers are putting it on their credit cards and they're doing buy now, pay later. At some point, I think that that could break, and that then would give pause to the markets. But until they stop spending, and they haven't, it's tally-ho.
Shah Galani, Chief Investment Strategist, ManWordPress.com in Miami. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, cruise ships now offer more activities, dining, and entertainment than ever. We'll talk to someone who has a trip report about sailing on one of the giants of the seas.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. Cruise ships keep getting bigger and offer more activities, dining, and entertainment options than ever before. Joining us to discuss is Ileana Schattauer, founder and content creator of the YouTube channel Life Well Cruised and lifewellcruised.com. Ileana, thank you for joining us today. And 4 years ago around this time, I mean, that the cruise industry, just like everything else, shut down. And you saw these pictures of cruise ships and mothballs, and there were really some questions about whether the industry could survive the COVID-19 pandemic. And Ileana, now we have our answer. Not only did it survive COVID-19, it's thriving today.
Oh, you're right. It's more popular than ever for first-time cruisers and for avid cruisers that seem to be cruising more than ever.
And you recently, we talked about some of these gigantic cruise ships that are setting sail, like the Icon of the Seas. You recently took a trip on one of the behemoth cruise ships. And for those of us who are wondering what it's like to be on board, tell us about it.
So we were on board the new Sun Princess. So that's Princess Cruises' newest and largest ship. It's 177,000 tons. But you know what? It was absolutely beautiful. And the thing that I really liked about the ship is that there was something for everyone. So like you said, tons of dining options, no matter what you enjoy, from a buffet to a main dining room, even with different concepts. And I think they had 9 hot tubs, 5 swimming pools, tons of places to lounge, and of course the entertainment options, there were entertainment galore.
Now we're talking about, I mean, how many passengers are on these ships at any given time? Because we're talking about maybe 3,000, sharing a ship with 3,000 other people. Did you feel crowded at all when you were on board and sampling one of the 9 hot tubs?
So you know what? We didn't find it crowded at all. It really did surprise me. There were 4,300 passengers on board and 1,600 crew. But the fact that the ship is large, but also well laid out in terms of space and even in terms of scheduling for the shows and for the different dining times and things that people choose, you're not all in the same place at the same time. So it was surprisingly not crowded.
And then if you're taking advantage of one of these very large ships, I mean, what are some things that you can do to stay ahead of the crowds and also to make sure you're not getting nickeled and dimed every step of the way?
Well, I think one of the things, firstly, is before the cruise, take a look at some of the packages that are available. So, for instance, you know, maybe with Royal Caribbean, as you mentioned, Icon of the Seas, you might want to get one of the dining packages or the beverage packages. I was sailing with Princess, so they have something called Princess Plus or Princess Premier, which are really advantageous. They include things like your tips, sometimes your dining, as well as your beverage package and Wi-Fi. So there are those things that can really save you money before you get on the cruise.
And then is this kind of the way cruising is going to evolve going forward, that the Icon of the Seas and others of its ilk, of its tonnage, of its size, of its passenger and crew complement, it's not going to be the outlier. That's going to be the norm in the next 10 years or so because of this incredible cruise demand?
Oh, that's such a good question. I have heard from cruise lines that they have said they are still committed to building different size ships. So I guess we'll see. But we've definitely seen in the last couple of years that, you know, a lot of the different cruise lines have gone a little bit bigger.
And then what are, you know, when we're talking about if you want to go on one of these large vessels and just try it out, should you just see if there's some sort of like a 4-day itinerary, like you leave from Florida, you go to the Bahamas and come back just to dip your toe in the water, so to speak, to see if you like it before you do like the 7-day itinerary or you go up the Pacific coast to Canada and back?
Oh, gosh. You know, I wish I could say yes, but I think the longer the cruise, the better, because you have more of a chance to see everything that's offered on the cruise and even get your bearings. Our cruise was only 5 days. It was a media sailing, so right at the very beginning of the inaugural season. It was a great time, but honestly, I could have stayed on board another 5 days to see it all.
Ilana Schatauer, founder and content creator for the YouTube channel Life Well Cruised, and find her online at lifewellcruise.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday, and still to come, a look at the economy from the view of a pawn shop owner.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A lot of investment analysts say inflation is easing and the U.S. economy is on the upswing, but there is more to life than numbers, and pawn shops across the country are telling a different kind of story. Joining us now to explain is Clay Barron, owner of Dave's, a pawn shop in El Paso, Texas. Clay, thank you for joining us today. And what is life like behind the counter of your pawn shop, sir?
Well, today it's a bit sleepy. Well, not a whole lot of traffic going on. The weather's a little windy.
And we're talking about people showing up at your pawn shop. And what are they doing? Are they selling items just to make some extra cash to make ends meet? Or are they just going to the store to get items at discounted prices?
Right now, more inventory is coming in than going out. It seems to be a nationwide trend. The beauty of this business is that when times are good, people come and buy. And then when times are bad, people come and borrow. Right now we're in a swing where people are coming to borrow and they tend to leave their items, which leaves me with a larger inventory.
And when did this trend begin? When did the trend of people showing up to sell their items really make itself apparent?
I mean, COVID was terrible, but I mean, it's been happening. It's continued to happen. It hasn't been improving.
And then when you talk to customers, what stories are they telling you just about trying to make it just on a day-to-day basis?
Stories every day, simple things like they need, you know, gas for their vehicle, they need groceries, just simple cost of living.
And then when you talk about just people trying to make ends meet, I mean, this is a shop that's been in your family for four generations. And you know, talk a little bit about you know, where you are located in El Paso and just the customers who come to you not only on a daily basis, but who have been coming to your store for decades now.
Well, I'm situated, on South El Paso Street. It's basically the oldest part of the city. We're a couple blocks away from the International Bridge. I could run across to Mexico, have lunch, run back over in time, you know, to finish my lunch hour. Most of our clientele in the past have come from Mexico, and then also likewise from El Paso, you know. Right where I'm positioned is in between the newly gentrified areas with, you know, pristine brand, you know, beautiful hotels. And then also everything in between that and the border. So it's quite a mix. It's, you know, $200 night stays at these hotels versus, you know, people who probably have $200 rent a month, you know.
So literally you could see how both halves live. And very quickly, Clay, can you just talk about, you know, we have the numbers. We have the statistics that tell the story about the economy. But what is Dave's Pawn Shop? What story are you telling about the economy?
Well, right now, like I said, money is going out. People seem to be in need and they're not able to repay. So therefore, my business is acquiring more and more inventory. Currently, we don't really have anywhere to sell it. So if we want to make room, we got to discount prices. So less money in, more money out.
Clay Barron, owner of Dave's, a pawn shop in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining us today.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.